During the first half of the 20th century, and going back even further, the general consensus among scientists was that the universe has always existed. Now, that isn't what the Bible tells us, of course. It talks there in the first chapter of the book of Genesis that God created everything. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." And it's very interesting in my lifetime, and really from about 1950 onwards, scientists began to realize more and more that the universe did have a beginning. And you've probably heard of what's called the Big Bang Theory. Well, it's a bit more than a theory now. There's an awful lot of evidence that the universe did actually start, did come into existence in a great flash of radiation about 13.7 billion years ago. And there's so much evidence that that's more than just a consensus now. So it does kind of line up very much with what the Bible says. The Bible says the starting point was God saying, "Let there be light." And the scientists say, well, there was a great flash of radiation that suddenly came into being all those billions of years ago. And it's quite interesting how the Bible does very much support. Science is not the enemy of our faith at all, even though many people would like it to be so. I think it's really worth understanding a little bit more about science so that you can defend your faith when people start to attack you with a very limited knowledge of what scientists actually have worked out. So I'd just like to think about that a little bit more this morning. And as you go through in the book of Genesis, it talks about the 7 days of creation. And this is unfortunately kind of a bad translation, because the word that's used for day there is the Hebrew word yom. And the word yom doesn't just mean a 24-hour period. It means actually any period of time. It's the only word they've got in the Hebrew that can express a period of time of indeterminate length. And it's as you read through the first chapter of the book of Genesis and you see the sequence of things that appear, they are exactly, according to the scientists, what you would see if you were standing on the surface of Earth, on the surface of the Earth, and time was very much speeding up. It's as though God put someone there on the surface of the Earth and showed them what actually happened all the way through those great long period of time. So the Bible and science do very much come together. So the Bible now clears, and scientists are quite clear, that time did have a beginning. And of course, we also read then, and particularly think about it this time of year, that time will actually have an end. The Bible tells us that Jesus will come back at some point in the future, and that will be the end of time. Now, of course, the science still says that they think that time will just go on forever, and that eventually the universe will run down, and we'll end up with what's called a cold soup. Everything will just be very cold and very thin and very inactive. That's the scientific view. But the Bible tells us that some point in time in the future, and we don't know when, even Jesus himself didn't know when he was going to return. So here we have a dichotomy. But of course, the science doesn't have any way of knowing what God's plans are. The Bible is the place we go to find the revelation about what is to come. And in this passage, the gospel passage that I read, it seems to be talking about that time when he comes back. And it talks there about great troubles and great tribulations and things. But it's fairly clear, I believe, that Jesus is not talking about millions or thousands of years in the future for him. He's actually talking about what was going to happen in a fairly short number of years from his time, actually 40 years from his death and resurrection. You know, the Romans came into Jerusalem and they completely flattened it. They tore the temple down, they killed thousands of the people, and they sent many of the others off into exile. And that was the end of the Old Testament worship. They no longer had the temple, they could no longer do the sacrifices. And it seems much of what Jesus is writing about, or speaking about here, that's been written down for us, is about that time. That's just 40 years in his future. Of course, nearly 2,000 years in our past. So when we read these passages, we shouldn't get too worried. We shouldn't think that it's necessarily talking about difficult things to come in our future. I don't know if you know, there are a large number of Christians across the world, particularly in the United States, who focus very much on these passages, and they very much believe that Jesus is talking about something that's going to happen fairly soon in our lifetime. Now, I think that this is a very bad misreading of the Bible, because Jesus is really talking about something that was really important to them at that time, and that we can look back to in history and understand it. But it's not something that we need to take a great deal of worry and concern about. So if you've ever come across Christians who talk about Jesus coming back very soon, they have a kind of view of the world getting worse and worse and worse, and eventually Jesus coming back to sort everything out. Can you see that kind of attitude that does actually affect the way people live? And I feel it's important for us as rational, thoughtful Christians to think about these things and to be prepared to actually talk to those who may come at us with this approach, with this idea of things getting worse and worse and worse until Jesus suddenly comes back. We know that Jesus is coming back at some point in the future, but the Bible speaks much more clearly that he's coming back when the church, if you like, has grown up to be ready to be his bride. We have a responsibility, a duty, to help our church, to help that the body of Christians across the world, to grow in maturity, to be ready to receive him who's called our bridegroom. We are the bride of Christ, he is the bridegroom, and we are waiting for him to come and claim his bride. But we know that a bride needs to be mature. A bride needs to grow up to be ready for her husband. And that is what I believe the church is undertaking. Now, can you see these two different attitudes that you can take if you look at this whole business of when Jesus returns? How it can change the way you live your lives, and how you can change the way you think about the church. And I believe what I'm proposing as what is there in the Bible for us is very logical and consistent with the way God actually works. God doesn't suddenly, at one point in time, God intervened very dramatically in history. And that was when Jesus was conceived and born in Bethlehem. But it wasn't that dramatic from an outside point of view. It fundamentally changed the status of the human race with respect to God. But it was in some sense a very tiny event. The conception of a child in an obscure part of a small country in the Roman Empire. That was not a big dramatic event. So this is the way God works. He allows things to happen because he has created a universe that works so beautifully that he only needs to intervene at certain points in human history. And that's what he's done down through the ages. And that's what he continues to do as he meets with us. But he's not looking, we should not be looking for him to make this dramatic change to the human race that some people are expecting. And again, if you go back to the days of creation, some Christians believe that it's talking about seven literal days, seven 24-hour periods. But that isn't the way God works. God does work over time, and he allows the universe that he has created to work beautifully as it does, only requiring him to intervene at individual points in time. And that's the way Jesus' life on earth worked. We look at Jesus' life. Most of the time, he lived exactly the same way that we do. He grew up, he ate, he got tired. Everything that we have to go through, he went through. There are just these moments that we read about in the Gospels where perhaps he brought some healing or another miracle happened, where obviously God was intervening. But they're very small individual points in his life. The only really dramatic point, of course, is the resurrection, when Jesus rose from the dead and God did dramatically intervene into human life. But for most of the time, God works in this small, quiet way that we read about in the Bible And if we're honest about it, we recognize in our lives. So what does this mean for us? It means that we need to think about how we live. That we have to, we're here for the long term, and the human race is here for the long term. We cannot expect Jesus to come and suddenly come, wave his mighty arm, and change everything in our lifetimes. We have to look after this planet that he's put us on. We can't just ignore the problems around us. And we have to help the worldwide church to grow and to develop and to mature. And we have to follow Jesus in the way that he lived his life and the way he called the apostles to live their lives. And we have to expect to see those moments in our lives where God does intervene and something miraculous does happen. I've seen it far too often in my life to dismiss that God really is at work in our lives. But it's up to him, and it's when he wants to do it and the way that he wants to do it. So let's give thanks that we do know that Jesus is going to return. But let's also recognize that he's given us a job to do in the church over the centuries, to grow and to mature and to look after the things that he's given us, so that when he comes back, we can truly be the bride of Christ. Amen.